I will have to put you here. This will be your bedroom.
Oh, I couldn't sleep here, missus. It's too good for the likes of me. I should be afraid to touch anything. I ain't a duchess yet, you know.
You've got to make yourself as clean as the room, then you won't be afraid of it. And you must call me Mrs. Pierce, not Mrs.
Gold, what was this? Is this where you wash clothes? Funny sort of copper, I call it.
It is not a copper. This is where we wash ourselves, Eliza, and where I'm going to wash you.
You expect me to get into that and wet myself all over? Not me. I should catch me death. I knew a woman did it every Saturday night, and she died of it.
Mr. Higgins has the gentleman's bathroom downstairs, and he has a bath every morning in cold water.
Oh, he's made of iron, that man.
If you're to sit with him and the Colonel and be taught, you will have to do the same. They won't like the smell of you if you don't. But you can have the water as hot as you like. There are two taps, hot and cold.
Oh, I couldn't. I daresn't. It's not natural. It would kill me. I've never had a bath in my life. Not what you'd call a proper one.
Well, don't you want to be clean and sweet and decent like a lady? You know you can't be a nice girl inside if you're a dirty slut outside. Now stop crying and go back into your room and take off all your clothes. Then wrap yourself in this and come back to me. I'll get the bath ready.
I can't. I won't. I'm not used to it. I've never took off all my clothes before. It's not right. It's not decent.
Nonsense, child. Don't you take off all your clothes every night when you go to bed?
Oh, why should I? I should catch me death. Of course, I take off my skirt.
Do you mean that you sleep in the underclothes you wear in the daytime?
What else have I to sleep in?
You will never do that again as long as you live here. I will get you a proper nightdress.
Do you mean change into cold things and lie awake shivering half the night? You want to kill me, you do.
I want to change you from a frowsy slut to a clean, respectable girl, fit to sit with the gentleman in the study. Are you going to trust me and do what I tell you, or be thrown out and sent back to your flower basket?
But you don't know what the cold is to me. You don't know how I dread it.
Your bed won't be cold here. I will put a hot water bottle in it. Off with you and undress.
Oh, if only I had known what a dreadful thing it is to be clean, I'd never have come. I didn't know when I was well off.
Now, come along, take that thing off.
Oh, goodness, Mrs. Pierce. I really couldn't. I'd never done such a thing.
Nonsense. Here, step in and tell me whether it's hot enough for you.
Ow! Ow! Oh, it's too hot!
It won't hurt you.
Oh! Ow! Ow!
Excuse the straight question, Higgins. Are you a man of good character where women are concerned?
Have you ever met a man of good character where women are concerned?
Yes, very frequently.
Well, I haven't. I find that the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damned nuisance. I find that the moment I let myself make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. Women upset everything. When you let them into your life, you find that the woman is driving at one thing and you're driving at another.
At what, for example?
Oh, Lord knows. I suppose the woman wants to live her own life and the man wants to live his, and each tries to drag the other onto the wrong track. One wants to go north and the other south, and the result is they both have to go east, though they both hate the east wind. So, here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so.
Come, Higgins. Know what I mean. If I'm to be in this business, I shall feel responsible for that girl. I hope it's understood that no advantage is to be taken of her position.
What? That thing? Sacred, I assure you. You see, she'll be a pupil, and teaching would be impossible unless pupils were sacred. I've taught scores of American millionairesses how to speak English, the best-looking women in the world. I'm seasoned. They might as well be blocks of wood. I might as well be a block of wood. It's... Well, Mrs. Pierce, is it all right?
I just wish to trouble you with a word, if I may, Mr. Higgins.
Yes, certainly. Come in. Don't burn the hat, Mrs. Pierce. I'll keep it as a curiosity.
Handle it carefully, sir, please. I have to promise her not to burn it, but I'd better put it in the oven for a while.
Oh, thank you. Well, what have you to say to me?
Am I in the way?
Oh, not in the least, sir. Mr. Higgins, will you please be very particular what you say before the girl?
Of course. I'm always particular about what I say. Why do you say this to me?
No, sir, you're not at all particular when you've mislaid anything or when you get a little impatient. Now, it doesn't matter before me. I'm used to it. But you really must not swear before the girl.
I swear? I never swear. I detest the habit. What the devil do you mean?
That's what I mean, sir. You swear a great deal too much. I don't mind your damning and blasting and what the devil and where the devil and whom the devil.
Mrs. Pierce, this language from your lips, really.
But there is a certain word I must ask you not to use. The girl used it herself when she began to enjoy the bath. It begins with the same letter as bath. She knows no better. She learned it at her mother's knee. But she must not hear it from your lips.
I cannot charge myself with having ever uttered it, Mrs. Pierce. Except perhaps in a moment of extreme and justifiable excitement.
Only this morning, sir, you applied it to your boots, to the butter, and to the brown bread.
Oh, that. Mere alliteration, Mrs. Pierce. Natural to a poet.
Well, sir, whatever you choose to call it, I beg you not to let the girl hear you repeat it.
Oh, very well, very well. Is that all?
No, sir. We shall have to be very particular with this girl as to personal cleanliness.
Certainly. Quite right. Most important.
I mean, not to be slovenly about her dress or untidy in leaving things about.
Just so. I intended to call your attention to that. It's these little things that matter, Pickering. Take care of the pence and the pounds will take care of themselves is as true of personal habits as of money.
Yes, sir. Then might I ask you not to come down to breakfast in your dressing gown, or at any rate not to use it as a napkin to the extent you do, sir. And if you would be so good as not to eat everything off the same plate, and to remember not to put the porridge saucepan out of your hand on a clean tablecloth, it would be a better example to the girl. You know you nearly choked yourself with a fishbone in the jam only last week.
I may do these things sometimes in absence of mind, but surely I don't do them habitually. By the way, my dressing gown smells most damnably of benzene.
No doubt it does, Mr. Higgins. But if you will wipe your fingers...
Oh, very well, very well. I'll wipe them in my hair in future.
I hope you're not offended, Mr. Higgins.
Not at all, not at all. You're quite right, Mrs. Pierce. I shall be particularly careful before the girl. Is that all?
No, sir. Might she use some of those Japanese dresses you brought from abroad? I really can't put her back into her old things.
Certainly. Anything you like. Is that all?
Thank you, sir. That's all.
You know, Pickering, that woman has the most extraordinary ideas about me. Here I am, a shy, diffident sort of man. I've never been able to feel really grown up and tremendous like other chaps. And yet she's firmly persuaded that I'm an arbitrary, overbearing, bossing kind of person. I can't account for it.
If you please, sir, the trouble's beginning already. There's a dustman downstairs. Alfred Doolittle wants to see you. He says you have his daughter here.
Phew, I say.
Send the blackguard up.
Oh, very well, sir.
He may not be a blackguard, Higgins.
Nonsense, of course he's a blackguard.
Whether he is or not, I'm afraid we shall have some trouble with him.
Oh, no, I think not. If there's any trouble, he shall have it with me, not I with him. And we are sure to get something interesting out of him.
About the girl?
No, I mean his dialect.
Oh.
Doolittle, sir.
Professor Higgins?
Here. Yeah. Good morning. Sit down.
Morning, Governor. I come about a very serious matter, Governor.
Brought up in Hounslow. Mother Welsh, I should think. What do you want, Doolittle?
I want my daughter. That's what I want. See?
Of course you do. You're her father, aren't you? You don't suppose anyone else wants her, do you? I'm glad to see you have some spark of family feeling left. She's upstairs. Take her away at once.
What?
Take her away. Do you suppose I'm going to keep your daughter for you?
No, no. Look here, Governor. Is this reasonable? Is it fairity to take advantage of a man like this? The girl belongs to me. You've got her. Where do I come in?
Your daughter had the audacity to come to my house and asked me to teach her to speak properly so that she could get a place in a flower shop. This gentleman and my housekeeper have been here all the time. How dare you come here and attempt to blackmail me? You sent her here on purpose.
No, Governor.
You must have. How else could you possibly know she's here?
Don't take a man up like that, Governor.
The police shall take you up. This is a plant, a plot to extort money by threats. I shall telephone for the police.
Have I asked you for a brass farthing? I leave it to the gentleman here. Have I said a word about money?
What else did you come for?
Well, what would a man come for? The human, Governor.
Alfred, did you put her up to it?
So help me, Governor, I never did. I take my Bible oath I ain't seen a girl this 2 months past.
Then how did you know she was here?
I tell you, Governor, if you'll only let me get a word in, I'm willing to tell you, I'm wanting to tell you, I'm waiting to tell you.
Pickering, this chap has a certain natural gift of rhetoric. Observe the rhythm of his native wood notes wild. I'm willing to tell you, I'm wanting to tell you, I'm waiting to tell you. Sentimental rhetoric. That's the Welsh strain in him. It also accounts for his mendacity and dishonesty.
Oh, please, Higgins, I'm West Country myself. How did you know the girl was here if you didn't send her?
It's just like this, Governor. The girl took a boy in a taxi to give him a jaunt. Son of her landlady, he is. He hung about on the chance of her giving him another ride home. Well, she sent him back for her luggage when she heard you was willing for her to stop here. I met the boy at the corner of Longacre and Endell Street.
Public house, yes.
The poor man's club. Governor, why shouldn't I?
Do let him tell his story, Higgins.
He told me what was up. And I ask you what was my feelings and my duty as a father. I says to the boy, you bring me the luggage, I says.
Why didn't you go for it yourself?
The landlady wouldn't have trusted me with it, Governor. She's that kind of woman, you know. I had to give the boy a penny before he trusted me with it, little swine. I brought it to her just to oblige you, like, and make myself agreeable, that's all.
How much luggage?
Musical instrument, Governor. A few pictures, a trifle of jewellery, and a birdcage. She said she didn't want no clothes. What was I to think from that, Governor? I ask you as a parent, what was I to think?
So you came to rescue her from worse than death, eh?
Just so, Governor. That's right.
But why did you bring her luggage if you intended to take her away?
Have I said a word about taking her away? Have I? No. Huh?
You're going to take her away? Double quick.
No, Governor, don't say that. I'm not the man to stand in my girl's light. Here's a career opening for her, as you might say, and...
Mrs. Pierce, this is Eliza's father. He's come to take her away. Give her to him.
No, this is a misunderstanding. Listen here...
He can't take her away, Mr. Higgins. How can he? You told me to burn her clothes.
That's right. I can't carry a girl through the streets like a blooming monkey, can I? I put it to you.
You have put it to me that you want your daughter. Take your daughter. If she has no clothes, go out and buy her some.
Where's the clothes she come in? Did I burn them or did your missus here?
I am the housekeeper, if you please. I have sent for some clothes for your girl. When they come, you can take her away. You can wait in the kitchen. This way, please.
Listen here, Governor. You and me as men of the world, ain't we?
Oh, men of the world, are we? You'd better go, Mrs. Pierce.
I think so indeed, sir.
The floor is yours, Mr. Doolittle.
I thank you, Governor. Well, the truth is, I've taken a sort of fancy to you, Governor. And if you want the girl, I'm not so set on having her back home again but what I might be open to an arrangement. Regarded in the light of a young woman, she's a fine, handsome girl. As a daughter, she's not worth her keep. And so I tell you straight, all I ask is my rights as a father. And you're the last man alive to expect me to let her go for nothing, for I can see you're one of the straight sort, Governor. Well, what's a £5 note to you? And what's Eliza to me?
I think you ought to know, Doolittle, that Mr. Higgins's intentions are entirely honourable.
Of course they are, Governor. If I thought they wasn't, I'd ask 50.
Do you mean to say that you would sell your daughter for £50?
Not in a general way, I wouldn't, but to oblige a gentleman like you, I'd do a good deal, I do assure you.
Have you no morals, ma'am?
Can't afford them, Governor. Neither could you if you was as poor as me. Not that I mean any harm, you know, but if Eliza is going to have a bit out of this, why not me too?
I don't know what to do, Pickering. There can be no question that as a matter of morals, it's a positive crime to give this chap a farthing, and yet I feel a sort of rough justice in his claim.
That's it, Governor. That's all I say. A father's heart, as it were.
Well, I know the feeling, but really, it seems hardly right.
Don't say that, Governor. Don't look at it that way. What am I? Governor's beau. I ask you, what am I? I'm one of the undeserving poor. That's what I am. Think of what that means to a man. It means that he's up against middle-class morality all the time. If there's anything going and I put in for a bit of it, it's always the same story. You're undeserving, so you can't have it. But my need is as great as the most deserving widows that ever got money out of 6 different charities in 1 week for the death of the same husband. I don't need less than a deserving man. I need more. I don't eat less hearty than him. And I drink a lot more. I want a bit of amusement because I'm a thinking man. I want cheerfulness and a song and a band when I feel low. Well, they charge me just the same for everything as they charge the deserving. What is middle-class morality? just an excuse for never giving me anything. Therefore, I ask you, as two gentlemen, not to play that game on me. I'm playing straight with you. I ain't pretending to be deserving. I'm undeserving. And I mean to go on being undeserving. I like it, and that's the truth. Will you take advantage of a man's nature to do him out of the price of his own daughter, what is brought up and fed and clothed by the sweat of his brow until she's grown big enough to be interesting to you two gentlemen? Is £5 unreasonable? I'll put it to you, and I leave it to you.
Pickering, if we were to take this man in hand for 3 months, he could choose between a seat in the cabinet and a popular pulpit in Wales.
What do you say to that, Doolittle?
Not me, Governor, thank you kindly. I've heard all the preachers and all the prime ministers, for I'm a thinking man and game for politics or religion or social reform, same as all the other amusements. And I tell you, it's a dog's life any way you look at it. Undeserving poverty is my line. Taking one station in society with another, it's the only one that has any ginger in it to my taste.
I suppose we must give him a fiver.
He'll make bad use of it, I'm afraid.
Not me, Governor. So help me, I won't. Don't you be afraid that I'll save it and spare it and live idle on it. There won't be a penny of it left by Monday. I'll have to go to work, same as if I'd never had it. Won't pauperise me, you bet. Just one good spree for myself and the missus, giving pleasure to ourselves and employment to others and satisfaction to you to think it's not been thrown away. You couldn't spend it better.
This is irresistible. Let's give him 10.
No, Governor. She wouldn't have the heart to spend 10. Perhaps I shouldn't either. £10 is a lot of money. It makes a man feel prudent-like, and then goodbye to happiness. You give me what I ask you, Governor. Not a penny more, not a penny less.
Why don't you marry that missus of yours? I rather draw the line at encouraging that sort of immorality.
Tell her so, Governor. Tell her so. I'm willing. It's me that suffers by it. I've no hold on her. I've got to be agreeable to her. I've got to give her presents. I've got to buy her clothes, something sinful. I'm a slave to that woman, Governor, just because I'm not her lawful husband. And she knows it too. Catch her marrying me. Take my advice, Governor. Marry Eliza while she's young and don't know no better. If you don't, you'll be sorry for it after. If you do, she'll be sorry for it after. But better her than you, because you're a man. And she's only a woman and don't know how to be happy anyhow.
Pickering, if we listen to this man another minute, we shall have no convictions left. £5, I think you said.
Thank you kindly, Governor.
You're sure you won't take 10?
Not now, another time, Governor.
Here you are.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. Oh, beg pardon, miss.
Go on. Don't you know your own daughter?
No, miss.
What's that? By Jove. This?
Don't I look silly?
Silly?
Now, Mr. Higgins, please don't say anything to make the girl conceited about herself.
Oh, quite right, Mrs. Pierce. Yes, damned silly.
Please, sir.
I mean, extremely silly.
I should look all right with me hat on.
A new fashion, by George. And it ought to look horrible.
Well, I never thought she'd clean up as good-looking as that, Governor. She's a credit to me, ain't she?
I'll tell you, it's easy to clean up here. Hot and cold water on tap, just as much as you like there is. Woolly towels there is. And a towel so hot it burns your fingers. Soft brushes to scrub yourself and a wooden bowl of soap smelling like primroses. Now I know why ladies is so clean. Washing's a treat for them. Wish they could see what it is for the like of me.
I'm glad the bathroom met with your approval.
It didn't. Not all of it. And I don't care who hears me say it. Mrs. Pierce knows.
What was wrong, Mrs. Pierce?
Oh, nothing, sir. It doesn't matter. I had a good mind to break it. I didn't know which way to look, but I hung a towel over it, I did.
Over what?
Over the looking glass, sir.
Doolittle, you brought your daughter up too strictly.
Me? I never brought her up at all, except to give her a lick of the strap now and again. Don't put it on me, Governor. She ain't accustomed to it, you see, that's all. But she'll soon pick up your free and easy ways.
I'm a good girl, I am, and I won't pick up no free and easy ways.
Eliza, if you say again that you're a good girl, your father shall take you home.
Not him. You don't know my father. All he came here for was to tax you for some money to get drunk on.
Well, what else would I want money for? To put into the plate in church, I suppose. Don't you give me none of your lip, and don't let me hear you giving this gentleman any of it either. Or you'll hear from me about it, see?
Have you any further advice to give her before you go, Doolittle? Your blessing, for instance?
No, Governor. I ain't such a mug as to put up my children to all I know myself. Hard enough to hold them in without that. If you want Eliza's mind improved, Governor, you do it yourself with a strap. So long, gentlemen.
Stop. You'll come regularly to see your daughter. It's your duty, you know. My brother is a clergyman, and he could help you in your talks with her.
Certainly I'll come, Governor. Not just this week, because I have a job at a distance, but later on, you may depend on me. Afternoon, gentlemen. Afternoon, ma'am.
Don't
Don't you believe the old liar. He'd as soon you set a bulldog on him as a clergyman. You won't see him again in a hurry.
I don't want to, Eliza. Do you?
Not me. I don't want never to see him again, I don't. He's a disgrace to me, he is. Collecting dust instead of working at his trade.
What is his trade, Eliza?
Talking money out of other people's pockets into his own. His proper trade's a navvy, and he works at it sometimes too, for exercise, and earns good money at it. Aren't you going to call me Miss Doolittle anymore?
I beg your pardon, Miss Doolittle. It was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, I don't mind. Only it sounded so genteel. I should just like to take a taxi to the corner of Tottenham Court Road and get out there and tell you to wait for me just to put the girls in their place a bit. I wouldn't speak to them, you know.
Better wait till we get you something really fashionable.
Besides, you shouldn't cut your old friends now that you've risen in the world. That's what we call snobbery.
You don't call a lot of them my friends now, I should hope. They took it out of me often enough with their ridicule when they had the chance, and now I mean to get a bit of my own back. But if I'm to have fashionable clothes, I'll wait. Oh, I should like to have some. Mrs. Pierce says he's going to give me some to wear in bed at night, different to what I wear in the daytime. But it do seem a waste of money when you could get something to show. Besides, I never could fancy changing into cold things on a winter night.
No, Eliza, the new things have come for you to try on.
Don't
rush about like that, girl.
Pickering, we've taken on a stiff job.
Higgins, we have.
Say your alphabet.
I know alphabet. Do you think I know nothing? I don't need to be taught like a child.
Say your alphabet.
Say it, Miss Doolittle. You will understand presently. Do what he tells you and let him teach you in his own way.
Oh, well, if you put it like that. I, B, C, D...
Stop! Listen to this, Pickering. This is what we pay for as elementary education. This unfortunate animal has been locked up for 9 years in school at our expense to teach her to speak and read the language of Shakespeare and Milton. And the result is I, B, C, D, ugh. Say A, B, C, D.
I'm saying it. I, B, C...
Stop. Say a cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
Put your tongue forward until it squeezes against the top of your lower teeth. Now say cup.
Cup.
Good. Splendid, Miss Doolittle.
By Jupiter, she's done it at the first shot. Pickering, we shall make a duchess of her. Now, do you think you could possibly say tea? Not tea, mind. If ever you say B, C, D again, you shall be dragged round the room 3 times by the hair of your head. Tea, 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 tea.
I can't hear no difference. That sounds more genteel like when you say it.
Well, if you can hear that difference, what the devil are you crying for? Pickering, give her a chocolate.
No, no, never mind crying a little, Miss Doolittle. You're doing very well and the lessons won't hurt. I promise you I won't let him drag you round the room by your hair.
Be off with you to Mrs. Pierce and tell her about it. Think about it. Try to do it by yourself. And keep your tongue well forward in your mouth instead of trying to roll it up and swallow it. Another lesson at 4:30 this afternoon. Away with you.